Okay. Now we have item 14, open public input. This was just a briefing, but there will be open public input next. I'm on it. Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay, I think probably most of you have testified before us in previous meetings, but I wanted to review the commission rules. We offer citizens 3 minutes to provide us with testimony. We'd like you to come forward to the front table, speak about 4 or 5 inches from the mic, and present your views. Please do try to listen for the beeping noise. I think it's loud enough. So when you hear that noise, that means your time is up, and we'd like you to conclude your remarks. You can finish a sentence if you're in midstream. And I'll call you up 2 at a time. So we'll start with Brady Witowitz and Mark Smith. Okay, Mr. Witowitz.
My name is Brady Witowitz. I live at 14,000 Spirit Lake Highway in Tootle, Washington. I'd like to thank the chairman and the commission for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And this is the third time that I've come before the commission to voice my concerns regarding hoof rot in our southwest Washington elk herd. And today I would like to share with you a few of my experiences with the disease since we last met. While hiking around my home, I found a cow with 2 infected hooves. She was dead. And looking at how bad they were, it is difficult to see how she could even walk. It was apparent that she died of starvation, not being able to move. I couldn't help but feel that her death was the end of her suffering and pain. And I often wake up in the morning, look out my window, and see that I am surrounded by elk. The park where I live is often visited by a small herd of cows, calves, spikes, and raghorn bulls. I've watched them over several months and have come to know and identify them. I've even given a few of them names. Today, it is painful to see that out of a herd of 17, 7 are affected by hoof rot. And keep in mind, this is what is left after the winter and spring die-off. Some are so bad that they could not even set their foot down. They moved out on 3 legs with a painful hop and jerk. I want to help them, but I'm told there's nothing I can do. My last encounter, I warn you, this is the worst so far. While hiking through a clear cut in search of antlers, I found a carcass, and of course it had hoof rot. I walked a little further, looking at the ground for antlers, and looking up, I was startled. There, lying down right in front of me, was a bull elk in velvet. He didn't move. I walked around him. As I looked at his hindquarters, I could see where something had been eating on him while he is still alive. This image was very disturbing, and as I looked him over more, I found he was missing his whole back hoof, and the infection had gone up the entire back leg, causing swelling. As I stood there looking at this once majestic animal, now lying before me, full of rot and half-eaten, but still alive, it made me sick. If any of you witnessed this firsthand, I don't think we would be here discussing what to do. I think you would be proactive in treating, containing, and preventing this needless suffering. And after witnessing these events firsthand, this reinforces my previous decision to not purchase and hunt elk in this state. Thank you again for the time allowing me to share my concerns.
Thank you. Okay, Axel Swanson, would you come forward?
Oh,
Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, I had one question. I appreciate your comments, and it's an extremely disagreeable thing. But I think you were here through the presentation that was given. Do you understand a little better where the department is coming from, the science that is being put into this that is trying to solve the problem, trying to find the cause and some kind of a treatment? Do you understand that better than you might have before you attended this meeting?
A little bit. The report was done in 2009, and I have the report right here. It wasn't published in November of 2011, and we're talking about it in 2013.
I understand. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. Commission, I thank you. I own Eco Park Resort at Mount St. Helens, one of the largest private investments down there, and I also have the Preservation Society and Friends of Mount St. Helens, and I've seen all you gentlemen before. I appreciate, finally, after several months, weeks, and years, hearing the importance that hoof rot is to the Commission and to the state, and I compliment Ms. Manfield and Nate on their direction. But what I like to point out in looking at the study is that I see, because I'm looking at it from not rosy glasses and not, you know, a positive direction, that we're doing no live animal studies. And as you pointed out, I think it was Commissioner Carpenter, or where we were looking at getting a cow in that. I would like to see you look at possible doing like the Cook family did in Oregon and use some captured elk in a captured environment and try to contain and see if the hoof develops this or if it's actually transmitted. That would help. I'm not a scientist, but I think that, you know, that could be something that would be fun to do. Also, the modifications to the environment. You've heard a lot of things about sprays and herbicides and how they're dangerous and that. The thing we're not talking about is that logging practices changed in 95. We use herbicides now on a 4% harvest instead of a 2% harvest. That 4% harvest with herbicides eliminates most of the elk habitat because the green trees are the only thing left. From everything I have seen, carrying capacities and looking at environment and our habitat are not being used to that extent. Even in the Forest Practices Act, we look at fish, but we don't look at the carrying capacity for wildlife and animals and the effects of those herbicides on reducing the actual vegetation. So that's something I would like to have you look at in that area. That's with the modification of that. The other thing is the study group of the elk. Sorry, I had a prepared one, but I wanted to change it for this. The procedures for butcher shops is one thing that was left out. You're saying the meat is healthy, but you have to remember you have a whole other division that inspects health department, goes to the butcher shop, goes to these things, and they're concerned of tainted animals. So if you're going to be looking into that to help the health and concerns of the public harvesting these animals, that's something you want to check into so that the health department will know how to address or put something out to them so that they know how to process those animals safely so that there's no cross-contaminations or concerns to the public, which would be good. As for the area you're asking about, migration of the elk, the current helicopter reports that there aren't official and that and the collaring, it's like elk in our area are traveling 1.5 miles from where they're born, where they were tagged or captured in the Mount St. Helens region. I also would question the 13,000 number on the elk in the Mount St. Helens region. I know there's a lot of controversy about elk counting, but I have lived there 16 years on my property, and my herd has gone from 80 to 17. So we've seen a dramatic reduction. I don't think that's a big problem that, you know, you can't look at and look at, but we have a pretty safe environment. The other thing that wasn't mentioned is stress. Okay, stress on these animals has to be tremendous because of the 185,000 hunter days we have at Mount St. Helens. We've gone to kind of a Walmart hunting type. I think it would be better if we looked at reducing those hunting days, shortening them, and that would allow the animals to have some time to recondition. They go into winter with really poor body conditions. They never get a chance to recover. And that's basically what I have to support.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. This is exactly the type of information I think is critical, what you were saying, that we have a way to make sure it is captured and shared with staff across the board. So I don't know if the web access is the best way to do that, but these in bullet forms, and I don't know if just sending that by an email is the best way, but I think there's an opportunity for a lot of solid citizen science here that we're seeing. So I appreciate your comments, and those are valid questions, and from a knowledgeable point of view, and I just want to make sure that for all of you that are testifying and your friends and our colleagues out there, that those get put together in a format that we can actually respond to and investigate as appropriate.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I hope we can solve this soon.
Thank you. Okay, Robert Brown, would you please come forward? Okay, Mr. Swanson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, fellow commissioners. Axel Swanson, I'm here representing the Board of Clark County Commissioners. I work for the Board of Clark County Commissioners, and they've been engaged with you and involved and interested and concerned about this issue. I also, if you put a tack on the map that we looked at for responses, I live in Castle Rock, live in Gallatz County, so kind of ground zero actually for where those reports, the center of those reports were coming from. I don't have a lot to say. I won't take a lot of your time. I'm on the record at the last meeting. I appreciate the work that was done between then and now and the report that was given by the staff. I think the Board of Commissioners in Clark County and myself personally and those that, you know, I could represent from Gallatz County in terms of my family and friends who hunt would just say keep this on the front burner. I know you will, but we can't afford any more lag. We need answers here. We may not have any easy solutions, but we need answers because as long as, you know, cow elk continue to wander into the city limits with three legs and lay down and die in people's front yards, you're going to continue to hear about this. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening, at least where I live right now. So yeah, it's a huge issue. It's a very visible issue, and it's a very, very sad thing to witness. One thing I would ask, and maybe the doctor could follow up today or later, but, you know, I don't even know how to phrase the question because I'm not a science guy, but we're looking very closely, it sounds like, at the farthest level we can at what bacteria are going to be found in these elk. And maybe this is an obvious question, and we are doing this, but are we looking at what maybe isn't being found? I mean, the way I understand the world and the environment we live in is it's a balance and it's an ecosystem. And so Mark mentioned pesticides, other things. I don't know what's going on with the ecology in the environment, but are we looking at maybe what may not be there to counter, you know, if there is a particular bacteria that's we're finding that's common and we're saying, well, that's there because it should be, but maybe it's there in levels that it shouldn't be because it's not being counterbalanced by something. Or I just don't know if we're, I guess, are we asking the right question? What we're finding should be there, but maybe are the things not there that we should be looking for? So anyways, I'll be quiet. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bradley Palmer, please come forward. Okay, Mr. Brown.
Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to present before you. I'll be very brief. I'll communicate in writing subsequently and perhaps in person. I've spent several lifetimes in academia and also in a bureaucracy, and as I enter my eighth decade of life, I'm kind of amazed at the 30-year history of the Mount St. Helens area. But since the department has a St. Helens Wildlife Management Area, I urge you all to direct your regional staff to conduct possible experiments with habitat modification, especially thinning some trees, opening them to sun, and actually burning to allow some ash to distribute. It's unlikely that this could be on the scale of the Yakult or the Tillamook burns, but that might change the pH of the ground and provide a kind of a ash bath, just like clay ash baths that some animals use and even eat, that might inhibit, if it were basic, some acid-loving bacteria. I don't know if these are, but it's a long shot. In addition, though, that area is being modified significantly by the sediment retention structure. I mentioned that previously. And I urge the department to be active with the National Marine Fisheries Service to influence the Corps of Engineers to at least pursue mitigation measures above and beyond the fish collection facility, so that there remains the possibility of volitional passage of anadromous fish. And also for the department to work with the Forest Service to fundamentally change the mandate of the establishment of the Mount St. Helens Volcanic National Monument to follow through with what information is in their management plan that allows for ecosystem restoration. there seems to be a huge emphasis on natural processes. Let it be. Well, if we do that, we can do like Scotland and have Scotch broom and tansy ragwort colonize. Or we can play God in Mount St. Helens just as we played God in Yellowstone, according to Alston Chase in his book. And I would just urge the department to take an active role. And I assume some of you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and I commend to you a book on a related subject. It's called Storms of My Grandchildren. Many of you may have already read it, by James Hansen, dealing with climate change and sea level change. Because in the long run, that's going to really impact Washington and the global coastal areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Palmer.
I guess I'm not close enough. My name is Bradley Palmer, and as many of you probably know, I have petitioned this commission regarding the application of various codes as it applies to the Americans with Disability Act and disabled people. I'm extremely frustrated with the response or inferences that I'm getting through my communications trying to work through this process, and I wanted to bring this to your attention. I am qualified and have my lovely little card here that says I can use a crossbow as an adaptive device to hunt. What I find, though, is that there are other regulations that are applicable which allow me not to purchase any commercially available bow in this state. As a matter of fact, you can go around to Cabela's and all these other places. I've called most of them. And none of them carry one that meets your qualification standard because they come with various forms of scopes and other sighting devices on them. If you remove them, and I've called the bow manufacturers, you violate the warranty, in addition to the fact that they give themselves an out because they believe that it will affect the safety of operation of that crossbow. So you're putting yourself at risk for no particularly good reason. Okay, the real issue here is the state has allowed that we can use crossbows with sighting devices on them, but during modern firearms. Well, what's the purpose of this if it's not to allow us to use adaptive devices during archery season? And that's the crux of the problem, is that there was even a settlement, as I understand from what I can gather, that occurred between the Department of Justice and U.S. Fish and Wildlife that affected funding of the Department of Fish and Wildlife because they weren't going to allow crossbows before. Now we have a special regulation that effectively says the same thing. It says, well, wait a minute, you can have a scope or this other devices that come on them, but you have to meet this qualification for needing visual adaptive equipment. Do you realize that standard is set at what is way beyond legally blind in the state's own code? It is set in a 1934 Social Security document to determine complete blindness for Social Security. It's ridiculous. You wouldn't let somebody with adaptive equipment drive a car in this state, and you're saying that's the only time, if you can't drive a car, you can get this adaptive equipment and you can fire a bow? Come on. I'm just really frustrated. The point is that those of us who have disabilities would love to hunt in archery season. Why? It's drier, it's sunnier. It just makes sense. It fits. We're trying to comply with the rules, but the rules don't make it easy or even available in all honesty. So I'm asking you to hurry up, please. Okay, let's not wait another season. I know that in the past there's been public comment and all this stuff that has gone on. The truth is that the public's responsibility to determine whether or not the Department of Fish and Wildlife in the state of Washington will comply with federal law. And that's what I'm asking, is please, just comply.
Okay, and your petition will be heard June 16th? 21st. So we have a conference call set up.
I realize that.
And
I realize that, but there was limited amount on the form. I'm not trying to be rude, but there was only so much of quite a bit of work I've done to try to determine why this is and how to to work within the system and do what legally I'm supposed to be able to do. I'm
I'm
trying to comply, and, it's impossible.
Well,
so that's why I wanted to come here and tell you that it's that as written, it's impossible.
Okay, you've done the right thing in bringing us this this proposal, this petition, in the way that is required or allowed by the law. And so we are engaged in considering that petition.
Okay.
And so you've done just the right thing. You're engaged in just the right way. And we have not been briefed yet, but we will be before the decision. And I think we'll come up with a good decision.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. May I finish with a compliment? I have given public testimony in the state several times on a variety of issues. This is the first time that I have ever seen the entire group that is supposed to be making a decision, let alone assembled where they're actually here listening to public comment, let alone on a Saturday. And I have to really compliment you people. I do.
You don't know how much
you deserve it. It's just the fact that you're willing to do it and that you take the time and make a point of it and make yourselves available. I got to tell you, you're exceptional.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we have an admiration for everyone who comes and talks with us, too, because you are the active citizens who care about natural resources. We're out there engaged in the activities that we care about. So the admiration is mutual, and we really do enjoy this part of our job. It's part of the job of the commission to serve as the link between the department and the public. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Perry.
I have one question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are you familiar with the disability committee that the commission and the department has, and are they supporting you in this petition? Have you worked through them? I was just curious.
I have communicated with as many of them as I can, but none of them really want to take a position with or against me, and I think that's probably proper because they do indeed work for you in the department. I think my impression is that there are a significant number of people on those committees that would agree with where I'm coming from.
Thank you.
And that it's long overdue.
Yeah.
But I can't come from them. It just would be improper, I believe.
Thank you.
And we're working out how to involve the commission's Disabled Hunters Advisory Group. So that's part of the homework we're doing, and we'll have that homework done before we make a decision on the 21st. I'm wondering if we're going to have an opportunity for this gentleman to listen in.
We've talked to him.
Yes, we have, and I apparently can listen in, but
yes.
That's just it. There's not a possibility of interaction.
Right.
This is the only time there was that possibility before it's too late and hunting season's already upon us or gone for those of us who would like to hunt during archery season.
Okay. Well, you certainly presented your perspective very well.
Thank you.
I compliment you.
I can tell you this much, that I'm not the only one that has these feelings. I have several friends that very much would like to be allowed to hunt during the better season.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terrific. Okay, that concludes the open public input. We have a break scheduled. We're a bit behind schedule, but we're going to be catching up by just being efficient for the rest of the agenda. Yeah, let's do 5 minutes, so about a little bit after, quarter after.